This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday. I'm live at State Farm Arena tonight. OKC in town to take on the Hawks. Turtle is in for Mike today. Big O behind the glass, Orn, our engineer. And we are talking to you about a variety of things. But if you're just tuning in, today we got big news in the NFL, and it could affect our Falcons. Now, as we get into the Falcon report, yes, we're going to tell you the latest on what's going on with the Combine. Our buddy Grant McCauley is going to join us here coming up in about 30 minutes. So stay tuned as we bring you the latest on the Braves down in spring training. But, Turtle, I want you to recap what we said earlier in the show for those who missed it, because I think it's very important. And it's rare. Let me be clear here. It is rare that I hardly ever agree with something that Turtle is saying, because usually either behind the scenes or even on the air, we are going at it. But I will tell you guys what he's about to tell you. He's absolutely right about. And that is, with the Stafford decision to stay with the Rams, what could it potentially mean for the Falcons?
Yeah, it's really, really big news. It affects the Falcons. It also affects the entire NFL free agency period, and it also affects the NFL draft. So let's break it down one by one. Obviously, most importantly, here in Atlanta, here's what it means, Carl. Stafford was supposed to go somewhere. Either the Raiders or the Giants were the reported finalist teams. So by him staying, you now have not one, but two, we were just talking about LeBron, not one, not two, not three, teams that are now back in the mix for a quarterback in the draft. So what does that mean? If I'm Tennessee, or if I'm Cleveland, especially Cleveland, who needs to trade Myles Garrett, they doubled down, by the way, saying, yo, Andrew Berry, I don't care what you said, I want out. So if you can get two first-round picks for Myles Garrett, if you can get an additional first-round pick for moving back in the draft with somebody who now needs either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, where does that leave the Falcons? I'll tell you. If I'm Cleveland and I do that, I'm calling Kirk. And I'm saying, hey, you're going to be our stopgap quarterback while we use all these first-round picks and reshape our entire organization. But what happens if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers? What happens if you're the Indianapolis Colts? Well, because Matthew Stafford is staying in L.A., those teams are now in the quarterback mix too. So could Kirk Cousins, by virtue of Matthew Stafford staying in L.A., now actually have, which we all, except for Zinno, who thinks he's right and is going to try to take a victory lap on this, thought a trade was impossible because Matthew Stafford going to another team meant there would have been less slots available. But now that he's in L.A. for good, there are two more teams because of that that need quarterbacks. Therefore, a potential trade for Kirk Cousins is now on the table, Carl Dukes.
I agree. Look, Terry Fontenot doesn't have Jedi power to convince any general manager in the National Football League that they need Kirk Cousins. He can't call and say, this is the quarterback you're looking for. Nobody's going to say, you're right, this is the quarterback I'm looking for, and make a deal under the circumstances that are currently in place. But with this, it opens up another door, potentially, for us to maybe move him. And this is the best scenario for our team. Guys, the worst scenario, I believe, sorry, Kirk, is for him to be here when the season rolls around as our backup and we're paying him $40 million. It just makes absolutely no sense. That is the worst case. Yes, you did. That is the second. That is the worst case scenario. The second worst case scenario would be for us to cut him as soon as the league year starts, and you just say, screw it, we're going to take a $65 million cap hit. Well, we're not in that position either. But the best case would be for somebody to potentially come trade for him and pay some of this money, and we can get him off the books, and we can move forward. I'm with Turtle on this. The Stafford thing is the first domino. Now, we don't know what the restructured contract is going to look like, but I will tell you guys, and I mentioned this on the show earlier in the week, when I found out that Matthew Stafford, the reason why this was all going on is because Stafford wanted $50 million a season. He is underpaid as one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now. So he wanted 50 this year, 50 next year. That's $100 million guaranteed. My guess is the Rams have agreed to either hit that number or come very close to it. And Stafford knows that his bread is buttered better in L.A. than probably anywhere else, being with Sean McVay and company. So this makes sense, but it also changes the direction of a bunch of quarterbacks. Turtle, did we not say today, where is Aaron Rodgers now calling around for? Where's he calling?
Right, so here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers now apparently is in cahoots with the Giants.
Unbelievable.
I don't understand it, and here's why. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a fit for Tennessee, for Cleveland, for the Giants, for the Raiders, or for the Jets. I don't think he's a fit for any of those teams. Because he's 40 bleeping years old, Carl. He doesn't have time for a full rebuild. But I guess he feels like he loves where he is, which is New York, New Jersey area. He loves, reportedly, Malik Nabers. Thinks that they can win now if he's throwing him the rock. And the Giants are going to be able to make some moves this offseason in terms of getting a new running back, getting a new tight end, rejiggering their offensive line. They got a DGD at left tackle who's really good, and Andrew Thomas. So maybe there's a little upside there. But Aaron Rodgers, to me, not a fit for Cleveland, not a fit for Tennessee, not a fit for Vegas, and not a fit for the Jets, obviously, because he's coming from there. So all of those teams are now going to need quarterbacks, Carl. Does one of them take a chance on Kirk? And the other, the wild card team that I think is Indianapolis. They're sitting at 14. So they're out of, if they don't trade up, they're out of the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders sweepstakes. So unless they love a Jaxson Dart or a Quinn Ewers or a Jalen Milrow, which I think is a big reach at 14, their GM said they're going to come and give Anthony Richardson a challenge at quarterback. Who better to bring in than a 36-year-old veteran you're not going to have to pay that much money to, who knows how to play quarterback and can challenge the kid? So there's another team that could potentially be in the mix.
Now, as one of our listeners said, his name is, Rucker? He was like, keep my Colts out of this. No general manager is drafting a quarterback in the first round twice in 3 years. Isn't that an issue for the Colts?
That, Carl, the Colts have not had a quarterback since Andrew Luck. I think you got to do whatever the hell you need to do to get a quarterback in there. Whether that's Kirk Cousins as a stopgap for a few years, they tried Matt Ryan, they've tried everybody. Phillip Rivers, I mean, get out of here, man. They've tried everybody under the sun. So, listen, that's a luxury. We were talking about earlier in the show luxuries that the Falcons don't have and the Hawks don't have. That's not a luxury that the Colts have. You can't just say that we're going to stick with Anthony Richardson out of a principle that we don't want to draft another quarterback. If you don't think he's the guy, if you think he's a bum, because he took himself out of a game and hasn't shown the preparation and the overall willingness to play quarterback at an elite level, then you got to move on. And maybe Kirk Cousins is the guy you move on to.
404-726-0929. Here's the problem I'm having. You want me to be positive to pump Kirk up now, even more so, to make him possibly more attractive, even though I'm still in my feels with the way everything went down.
He's legit.
I'm having a problem with this, Turtle. I'm having a problem with trying to bring myself to this spot where you're now saying we should be pumping him up and encouraging teams to make this phone call because we know the needs of certain teams out there, and I'm having an issue with it.
Oh, you mean the guy that threw for 500 yards and broke the franchise single season game record?
Yeah, I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical
error. Yeah, it was a clerical error. You're right. You mean the guy that threw for 4 touchdowns, not once but twice in a game?
Someone's trap and
he took it over, so much so that he was NFC Offensive Player of the Week not once but twice?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You mean that guy? That Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
The guy that admitted that he was injured, so obviously we now know the issue and that when he gets to another team, he'll be good to go and can be that version of Kirk Cousins again?
I'm having a problem with this. I mean, I'm not having a problem with fundamentally what you are saying and how correct you are for the first time in a very long time on something. I am having a problem with me trying to bring myself to be positive about this situation after the way this all went down, after he did this whole reconstruction of his image thing at the Super Bowl and, oh, I was hurt and I'm fine and I have still good years in football ahead of me and, you know, I didn't want to hurt my team, but yet I hurt my team when I threw 5 or 9 interceptions in 5 weeks and I blew the season for a team that was 6-3. I'm having an issue with trying to make this more than what it is. What it is I'm still mad at him.
That's where I'm at.
Well, you mean to tell me that the guy that threw for 500 yards and four touchdowns twice and was NFC Offensive Player of the Year twice, you're telling me he's not worth a fourth-round pick and picking up $5 million?
He is.
You're not telling me he's not worth that, Carl.
He is.
He's going to go into Indianapolis, and he's going to give Anthony Richardson every damn thing he can handle.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
Or he's going to go to Pittsburgh, and he's going to blow away Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, who were both inconsistent last
going
year.
Going into now, someone's trap and
let me
take
you
over
this.
Their trap.
Let me ask you this. Should take over your trap. Let me ask you this. Is he going to be mobile this year? Not that we need him to, but I'm just saying, like, if you're interested in him, or is he going to be a statue like he was here? Is he more healed from the Achilles than he was last year, even though he says it was a shoulder injury that put him out of commission, basically, against the Saints? I mean, if you're going to give this guy an opportunity, no matter where you're at, aren't you thinking about these things? This is why I just don't think anybody's going to come do this.
Here's why. All we need to do, Carl, as we get ready to talk to Grant McCauley in about a half hour, look in our own backyard. Do you remember Ronald Acuna year two after the surgery? He won the MVP. Kirk Cousins can do the same damn thing. Year two after the surgery.
I was like, man, this dude, he's legit.
He's back. Come get him, Cleveland.
Boy, you were pumping him up. It's unbelievable. 404-726-0929. What do you guys think? We're just trying to give you a little bit of logic. We're coming back. Strong Arm Story of the Day is next. What's going on at the Combine? Today, as a matter of fact, Turtle, different positions working out. Yesterday, it was the edge rushers, right? It was the D linemen. We were certainly intrigued about all that we were watching because there were some guys who put up some really impressive numbers. But did any of that change your opinion about some of the guys that we've been talking about? And, you know, we can run down this list. Again, if we are in position, we're talking about the Falcons, to draft at 15, one of the top, let's just say five edge rushers in this draft, my thing is you have to take them. Now, where the Falcons will have them ranked and where maybe I have them ranked or down the road we'll talk to different folks and they say, hey, this guy is better than this guy, I don't necessarily know if that matters right now. What I think is, did anybody do anything yesterday to change your opinion about where you currently think they should be taken?
Well, the guy that everybody's talking about, right, is Shamar Stewart. And he had not only a good day, Carl, he had a historic day at the Combine yesterday. But, there's a big but, he hasn't done it on the field. I think he had 1.5 sacks last year. Not good. So, are you willing, if you're the Falcons, if a guy like that is there at 15, which I think he will be, to take a project again after taking a project in the second round last year in Rukurororo? I don't think you can, Carl. So he would be the guy that exploded off the page, but the unfortunate part about him, unlike a Jalen Walker or Michael Williams or an Abdul Carter, he's been all bark, no bite on the field. Does that mean the potential's not there? No, of course, that's what you're drafting him on. But the Falcons, they don't have time right now. And I know I said earlier in the show that they're not in win the Super Bowl or Super Bowl aspirations anymore because they don't have Kirk Cousins. But the Falcons need to make the damn playoffs. Otherwise, Terry Fontenot and probably Raheem Morris are going to be out of a job. So I wouldn't take a prospect like that in the first round. I don't think you can afford to do that. So in my
6'5", 270, 4'5", 40, 1.5, 8 second, 10 yard split. That's quickness. That's agility. That's quick twitch. You're not going to take that dude?
No, I can't. I don't have time to develop him. He's going to be a project, Carl. He's not going to come in. I mean, maybe he comes in and has, because Carl, the Falcons need a guy to get double digit sacks, man. Like, you think Arnold Ebikade is going to do it this year? Do you really think that?
You think it depends on who's around him.
Okay, do you think Braylon Trice is going to be able to come in and have an instant impact coming off of a major surgery?
I think Braylon Trice is good for six or more sacks, yes. Six.
Okay. That's still not enough.
No, but it's his first year. Last year would have been his first year. As a rookie coming in and getting 6 to 7 or 8 maybe sacks, I think that's a good rookie season.
I didn't see anything yesterday from anybody that made me feel like they shouldn't take the same guys that we've been talking about to fully answer your question.
Yeah.
So if Michael or Jalen fall to 15, scoop them up. If Mike Green is there, take him. I know he has small hands. But you take them. Yeah, he does. And they're really small, by the way. You take them.
Do you measure your hands, by the way, from the thumb to the pinky? Did you measure yours yesterday? We did this a couple of years ago because we got into this whole conversation. I think it was with Dave Archer, who was a quarterback. Arch has big hands. Like, ironically, like, you know, guys, when you see guys and you don't think about this stuff, and then you go, man, he can really sling it, you realize a lot of these guys have Michael Penix. I'm going to tell you guys, big hands, all right? So we did this experiment a couple of years ago, Turtle, and I don't know, I think I was a 9, something like that. And it was okay. I thought it was bigger, but it wasn't. Nevertheless, if you measure your hands.
Was it cold, Carl?
I'm sorry?
Was it cold when you did the measurements?
Your fingers got shrinkage? Is that what Orin's trying to say? Your fingers got shrinkage?
You sound upset.
I was upset. I mean, I thought it was bigger. I thought my hands were bigger. So, you know, I'm like, no, I got big hands. I might have strong hands, and then not necessarily. Because there were guys, like when we start talking about this, there are guys, okay, we said Mike Green, the edge rusher, 8.5. That's what we're talking about, right? And why this is important, I know some people are like, this is the dumbest thing ever.
No, but just for reference, like a good hand size is about a 10.5.
Correct.
And he's an 8.5, which is significant.
That it is. It's 2 sizes smaller.
It's like the Grinch. His heart shrunk 2 sizes that day.
It's 2 sizes smaller than what you would normally guess. But when you start talking about guys with 11s or 12 hit, those are big hands. So, and the reason why that matters, quarterbacks is one thing. But when you're talking about edge rushers, and we said this, length of arms and your hand size, there's a lot of hand swatting and combat that goes on inside of the trenches. And if you got small hands, it doesn't benefit you. Guys with big hands, you ever seen a guy with big hands? He can smack the blank out of you, right? You're like, that guy's got big hands. That's why it matters on the offensive and defensive lines. Nevertheless, what were you saying? He's got small hands. Why do we get into my hand size?
Well, you brought it up. I didn't bring it up.
Never mind.
No, all right. Well, and here's the other thing to bring it back to today. Is there anything anybody could do today, meaning the DBs, that could sway you away from taking an edge of 15?
No. I mean, look, I expect all these guys to be fairly fast. That's a given. 40 times should be good for the first crop of you know, the top 5
that
DBs.
That safety Carl just ran, and he ran a 4.56 out of Texas, the guy that we were talking about earlier. That hit
the hard hitter.
Yeah, hard hitter.
Andrew Makuba.
And see, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you, because having watched him, he plays faster than that. Like, he is a really good run-stopping safety, can cover. I said to Chris and Orin, obviously brings the hat, but he plays faster than that. Like, I would have thought he was going to be a 4.4 or 4.3 guy. Seriously. Not 4.5, but I'd still take him. His instincts are really good. I'm just saying. He may not be Malachi Starks, who's considered to be the best safety on this board, but I really like him. I think he's pretty good. But that's interesting. So I think, no, Turtle, to answer your question, none of these guys, including Johnson out of Michigan, I don't think that would change my mind. The only reason I'm thinking about these guys is, again, if we're not picking at 15. If we're picking 22 or 25 and you go, okay, what we wanted is out of the range of what we wanted to do, now I've got to go the best position player on the defensive side of football that's available. And if that's a corner, if you're telling me we get the number one corner, number two corner on the board, I'm happy with that versus the number 8 edge rusher or 6 edge rusher. That's how I'm viewing that.
Listen, this trade back thing has been floating around for a while now.
Because we need more picks.
Because we need more picks, and because Terry Fontenot literally has talked about it, which is maybe a little strange, but neither here nor there. The more I think about it, Carl, the more I don't like it.
Why?
Because we need a damn edge rusher.
So you stay.
We need an edge rusher, Carl.
Okay. So you
like,
stay.
You have to. You can't trade down to 23, as you said, take the third best corner on the board, and then pray like you did last year that in the second round you'll find a defensive lineman that is going to work out. No. No. You're going to have a chance to get probably the third best edge rusher with the way it looks like. With every mock draft I'm seeing, 2 guys off the edge are usually going before the Falcons at 15.
Okay.
So if you can get the third best edge rusher in a really good edge rush or defensive line draft, you have to take him. It is so far and away your most pressing need, because at least you have AJ. At least he's there and he's locked in. So you need somebody to come in and play, I don't know, B-minus level corner, and you could be all right. You need You, Carl, you need an A-level edge rusher. You need an A-level interior lineman to play next to Grady. I'm sorry. You don't have it right now. I don't think David Onyemata is going to be on this roster next year. Rook's a project. Brandon Dorlus is a project. And Braylon Trice is coming off a big injury. Zach Harrison, we have no idea what he's going to be. And AK's good, but he's not great. So that's your defensive line. There it is, right there. Those are the guys. You need an A-level guy. And that and a potential A-level guy will be there at 15.
I agree with that. 404-726-0929. Real quick, Shedeur Sanders addressing the media. You guys know he's not going to throw at the combine. Cam Ward has now announced he's not going to throw at the combine. They're going to do it on their pro days. But they're there to meet with the teams. But his cockiness may be rubbing some teams the wrong way. It's not for me. If I'm a general manager, I love what he's saying. Shedeur Sanders, if you ain't trying to change the franchise or the culture, don't get me.
Yeah, how do you not love that? He's saying, I'm going to come in here day one. I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to try to instill my will on this team and this organization. And as the quarterback, Carl, that's exactly what your damn job is.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. As we've joked around about pumping up Kirk Cousins, what was the biggest reason that people had faith in him? It wasn't his skills. It was his leadership. It was the way he came into the trap, Carl, and he took over the trap in Flowery Branch. And he instantly earned the respect of the coaches and the team. We saw it in the summer, Carl. We were like, damn, this dude's screaming out here. He was yelling at people. Get this play goes that way, Drake. I'm throwing you the ball here. You better damn catch it. We loved it. And if Shedeur Sanders is saying, I don't give a crap, I'm 22 years old, but I got that same swagger, and I'm going to be the leader of your organization day one for the next 10 to 15 years, I'm salivating at that.
I love his approach, but it's in his blood. Dad was the same way. And when everybody said, oh, this guy's overhyped, he's not going to be any good, he's got a gold jacket. I don't know if Shedeur Sanders will have that, but he's confident. As confident as you can be. We're coming back. Our man Grant McCauley to talk Braves. What is the latest with our Bravos as spring training continues? Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk about our Bravos. Spring training continues, and Grant McCauley is here, our Braves insider. Covers the Braves, covers MLB for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, Grant, let's start with Ian Anderson. As we like to say on the show, Mr. Anderson. All right. What did you think today? I mean, I saw where his fastball topped out at about 94 miles per hour, which I think velocity is good. Tell me what you thought about the outing.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good-looking outing for him. I mean, and we're really putting things under the microscope for a variety of different reasons for certain guys that you just need to see it. And Ian Anderson is one of those guys that you just kind of need to see certain things. And when he was at his best, his last fully healthy season, you know, which has been, what, almost four years ago now, he was in that 94 to 95 range pretty regularly. Like, that's a place that he could hit. That's where he needs to get back to. It makes his changeup better. But he is also working on his breaking ball offerings and using that pitch to get ahead in counts. I think that's going to be important for him, not just to have it as a show-me pitch, but something that really helps him to diversify what he's doing against hitters. So, yeah, we want to look at the fastball velocity and see it be where it needs to be. And I think as he builds innings, that's going to come, and we're going to kind of see where it normalizes that. But I also think that his overall arsenal with a plus changeup, which has never been a question for him, it's a great swing and miss pitch, one of the better changeups that you'll find. He just needs the rest of that arsenal to be there and be consistent in order for him to be consistent.
Grant, I'm sure you're seeing it on Twitter as I am. The Drake Baldwin fans are coming out in droves because the youngster is showing that he can hit a little bit so far early on in spring training. Chadwick Tromp is the backup for now, but he's 29 years old, has never really been fully established as a full-time big leaguer. How short or long do you believe the leash to be for the backup catcher spot if Tromp does not come out of the gates hot?
Here's the thing. It does not serve Drake Baldwin to come up and just sit around and not play on a regular basis just yet. Now, him getting to AAA and doing what he did last year. And I had a chance to catch up with Drake Baldwin and, you know, talk to him for quite a while about what his 2024 was like, you know, going from Mississippi, where he kind of said, you know, not the greatest place to play, not the greatest place to hit, because you could do all the things right and still make some outs. And some parks are just like that. But we saw what happened when he got to AAA. We saw him homer in the Futures game. I mean, the things that he's done at the plate, he's proven he can do it against higher levels of competition. And the next big test for him, obviously, would be to see where he could fit in the big league picture. But with Sean Murphy firmly entrenched as the starting catcher and the expectation that he's going to catch, I would say, 3 out of every 4 ball games, you're just not asking a lot out of Chadwick Tromp. And I will say this, and I feel like this is something where, and I'm guilty of it too, you just kind of overlook him because he's not a name. He's not somebody that does have that resume, that is that established big leaguer that's done a lot of different things. The Braves, though, they like Chadwick Tromp and what he does, and their pitchers like him and they trust him a lot, and that, I think, is important. So I wouldn't expect anything to happen early for Drake Baldwin. A couple of more months at Gwinnett to really kind of show that, hey, I'm building off of last year. This is who I am, and the Braves firmly believe that it is. He's a left-handed hitting catcher, which you don't see a ton of those, and he's got nice opposite field prowess and power as well. There's a ton to like about Drake Baldwin. Let me just kind of sum it up by saying that. But I don't think that he has pushed the issue to the point where he has to be in the big leagues or it's a disservice to him.
So I've been saying, and I want to know if you agree with me, he's going to hit. I'm talking about Sean Murphy.
Yeah.
And the reason why I believe that, one is, you know, Grant, we know this. Last year's last year. It's certainly not this year. And it is rare where a guy, you know, has those kind of struggles and you come off of a season like that and you just don't have a better year. Like, that's usually the case. But I have a lot more confidence than most people about Sean Murphy. Where's your confidence level with him? And tell me why you feel the way that I do, if you do, that he is going to hit this year. Again, I'm not telling you he's going to hit 30 home runs, but sure, I do think he's going to be way better than what he was.
No, I'm with you, and I think that's the operative statement there, is he's a much better player than he showed last year. And the big reasons why, and I think it's not a surprise, is even when his oblique got healthy, to get all of your work done and get ready to start a season and then get hurt on opening day and miss 2 solid months, that's going to put you behind. And I think that, you know, and Sean Murphy said this when I was down in Northport and he talked about, you know, what last year was for him. Even when he got back, he's like, my oblique felt fine, but my swing was never where I wanted it to be. I never felt comfortable again. And at that point, you know, Sean Murphy, I believe, and this is kind of a rarity too, is one of those workhorse-style catchers where I think he benefits from playing more. But where they were at, and with the lack of offense, and no Ronald Acuña Jr., and no Michael Harris, and no Austin Riley, and, you know, the list goes on, you kind of had to lean on Travis d'Arnaud well more than you wanted to, just because you were looking for a little spark here and there, and Travis offered that at times. But there is no Travis d'Arnaud this year. So to go back to kind of to what Chris asked, the job is Sean Murphy's, and that's what they got Sean Murphy for. It's why they signed him to a multi-year contract. I still think he is one of the best catchers in the National League, if not all of baseball, and I think he's going to have to prove that over the course of a healthy season, and I believe that he will. You look at those career norms, kind of that career line outside of 2024, he's a guy that can hit somewhere in that 250 to 260 range, which may not sound like a lot, but he's got power, can put up an 800-plus OPS, and he's durable, and he's the kind of catcher that can really work with a pitching staff and make them that much better. So you add all of that up, and that still puts Sean Murphy as one of the most important Braves players to reestablish himself this year. We can talk all we want to about Ronald Acuña Jr. I think we know who he is ultimately. Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Michael Harris to a lesser extent perhaps, Ozzie Albies, let's throw him in there. There are a lot of guys who want to do more than they did last year, but I don't think any one player outside of the Ronald Acuña Jr. category wants it or needs it as badly as Sean Murphy does.
Grant, we've talked about the bullpen a lot in trying to make up for the departure of A.J. Minter and losing Joe Jimenez. Have there been any guys through the first 7 games that you've had your eye on, either somebody that we've heard of or maybe not, that has gotten a look that you could say, hey, you know what, that stuff I think might be able to play an important part in the Braves bullpen this season?
Yeah, I think that even going down there and seeing him, Angel Perdomo at 6'8" and 270 pounds is going to get your attention. I mean, this was a big strikeout lefty for the Pirates, and to a lesser extent, I think, you know, for the Brewers, he got a little bit of play in the big leagues. The success wasn't really there at that stop in Milwaukee, but with Pittsburgh, before having to undergo Tommy John, I think he'd really open some eyes. But he's on the road back from that elbow surgery. He's going to have to prove it. I think that with no A.J. Minter, there's an obvious need for one more lefty. I know Aaron Bummer's a veteran. They restructured his contract. They're happy with him. They like what Dylan Lee has done. But if you could get one more of those guys with some big strikeout stuff that could play up and maybe have that, you know, high leverage, you know, seventh, eighth inning role that Minter was so good in for, what, five, six, 7 years, that I think would be somebody to keep an eye on. Jake Diekman is another lefty that's in camp. He's a veteran, has pitched parts of, I believe, 8 or 10 seasons in the big leagues. He can miss some bats as well. He's got a pretty good breaking ball. And this is kind of where the Braves are with these couple of spots, unless or until they maybe find somebody in spring training. And I wouldn't rule out them still looking to maybe add a piece here or there, especially for the bullpen in spring training or over the course of the regular season. These are the guys that could show you something and kind of come out of nowhere, like Nick Anderson did a couple of years ago. And I know he got hurt, you know, at the middle portion or in the second half of that year, but the first half of, what, 2023, Nick Anderson was one of your main setup guys. If they could just have somebody come in and do that, that would go a long way towards answering some of the questions of not having A.J. and not having Joe Jimenez, who may not pitch this year because of the knee injury.
What's going on with Nacho Alvarez?
Yeah, Nacho, I think, is just kind of in this place where, you know, the injury I don't think is anything major for him, but I'm not sure that he was really pushing the issue, if you will, in spring training to be in that mix. I think that he was ahead of schedule last year as well, with, you know, getting called up out of necessity rather than, hey, this is somebody who's really, really earned it and we just got to reward him with the call up. The Braves had to pull a lot of different levers last year that I don't think they wanted to, but shouldn't be anything major, it doesn't sound like, and he can be back out there playing some games before too long, but that would be important for him, just to continue that development. He looked a little bit overwhelmed at the big league level, but I think we all know the first taste of the big leagues, the first impression, yeah, you'd like to make a good one, but it doesn't mean that's who you are forever. So I'd like to see this kid go out there, get some more reps, and kind of show what he can do after spending a nice full season working on everything, staying healthy, and getting a chance to be a AAA on the ready in case he's needed.
Grant, how do you feel, this is more of a philosophical question, how do you feel like they're going to approach base running this year? Because we saw last year what the bigger bases are able to do in terms of getting yourself into a position to steal more bases. We know they have several guys that can do it. They may not do it as much as you would think in terms of your Ronald Acuna's or Ozzie Albies or other guys in the lineup, Michael Harris, that we know that can do it. How do you feel like they're going to go about it this year?
I don't know that they're going to make a lot of changes with that. I think that, you know, I almost would have thought last year, you know, maybe they would push the issue a little bit more on the bases. Then you started to look at who was on the bases and you realized, oh, well, I'm not really sure they can outside of, you know, Jared Kelnick or Ozzie Albies or Michael Harris. I mean, those are guys who run pretty well. Austin Riley is, I think, a little sneakier, fast for a bigger guy, but you're not asking him to steal a bunch of bases. Jerickson Profar can run pretty well, but Ronald Acuna Jr. is the main threat of all the Braves base runners. I still think Michael Harris has 30 stolen base potential, most certainly. Ozzie, I think we know who he is. Somewhere between that 10 to 20 would be about what I would expect out of him. And then you kind of pick your spots. I think that's the most judicious thing is that, you know, as the bigger bases came into effect, certain players are just dynamic. They're going to be able to do the things they want to do out there. Other players, you know, even with the limited pickoffs, which I actually think is a bigger deal than the bases, they're still finding ways to interrupt the base runners and keep them close. And clubs, you know, whether you like it or not, agree with it or not, I mean, I hate it because I loved the wild base running of the 80s into the 90s with big stolen base threats. Teams just kind of feel like that's a risk they kind of want to mitigate because they believe that the next hitter or the one after that's going to knock you in. So if you're on base, if you're on second especially, you're probably just going to throw down the anchor there and wait for somebody to knock you in.
When are you on, Grant? What's going on with your schedule?
I've got a couple of spring training schedules that will be coming up later in the month of March, which, by the way, the month of March starts tomorrow. So before we know it, it's going to be opening day. We are less than a month away from that, so I'm excited about that. And then it's going to be Sundays right here on 92.9 The Game from the Diamond, also wherever you get your podcasts. And whenever you guys want to have me on, I'm happy to jump on and talk some Braves with you in the meantime.
No doubt. Lots going on, guys. Lots to look at as far as our potential prospects and how this roster is going to shake out. Grant McCauley, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
That is Grant, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've been talking about a variety of stuff today. On what I did today, because I did something that I normally don't do.
And I'm going to tell you what that is coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, you're going to hear from our man, Bryant McFadden, who stopped by to talk about the combine and his thoughts on the corners. It's interesting because we still may end up getting one of those guys. You'll hear his evaluation on this corner class. And Hawks in action tonight against OKC down here at State Farm Arena. We'll get into that and much more. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.